Psalm 117. Well, since it's only two verses, let's read this together. Beginning, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we unpack the truths found in these verses, that you would not only help us to be more acquainted with your word, but also that we may apply these things to our lives, that we may find meaning in these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the most important duty of mankind is to worship, right? We all know the chief end of man is to what? Glorify God and to enjoy him forever, right? Now, these talk about the worship of God. And we know that it's true that how we worship God is important, but the why we worship God is also important. When we know the why, we begin to understand why we ought then to worship God, right? And when we know why we ought to worship God, then how we worship God also follows. Now, there are two things I want to talk about tonight. Whom do we praise and why do we praise? And these are found in, well, these two verses. Now, this psalm is, you know, the shortest psalm in the Bible. You can't do responsive reading with this psalm. You know, I begin and you end, or, you know, the usual practice is to read the last two verses together, right? So we begin and we end. So, but, you know, even though it's the shortest psalm, it's a very rich psalm, and we can learn many lessons from it. So firstly, we consider whom do we praise? And the psalm is very clear, right? In the first verse, it tells us to praise the Lord, right? The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, the first word we see for the word praise in the verse where it says, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. And then subsequently, there is another word praise. In the same verse, it says, praise him, all ye people. And, you know, these are two different words in the Hebrew. Right, the first word is hallel. That's where we get hallelujah, right? To lift up high, to boast, to celebrate. But the second word for praise is the word shabak. And that basically means to commend, to praise to others. So when the psalmist here is saying, praise him, all ye people, he's basically saying, all you people, praise him to others, right? So not only do we praise God directly, and we boast and we commend, or we boast and celebrate God, but we are to commend him to others, praise him to others. So we praise God, we boast, we celebrate, and we commend God, we praise God to others. And God is so wonderful, right, that we can't help but praise him, and we can't help but praise him to others. Now, since we are to praise God, this verse also tells us whom not to praise. Now, we don't see it, but it's obvious, right? Because we are to praise God, we don't praise anything else to the same level. Now, the Bible does not tell us never to praise anything else. Correct? You know, obviously, can you say, good job! You know, you've done a good job. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say that. No, you have not done a good job. Well, obviously, it doesn't tell us to do that, right? But we are not to praise anything else to the same level. Now, of course, we know that there are things that we do not praise at all. what are some of those things we don't praise at all? Praise Satan. Well, obviously we don't praise Satan, right? We don't praise sin. We don't praise idols or demons. We don't even praise angels. And we don't praise ourselves. Right? And now there are also things that we don't praise to the same level, but these things are still praiseworthy, but nowhere to the same level as God. I mean, for example, if you listen to a nice piece of music, a nice musician, you know, or you look at a piece of art, you know, even our own kids, right? We praise them for their accomplishments, but certainly not to the same level as God, correct? You know, we don't, in other words, we don't make a big deal of anyone or anything else. Now, John Knox, you may have heard this illustration before, he had an audience with the queen had an audience with him. And there were all these excited people who asked John Knox, oh, how did the meeting go? And John Knox replied and said, why should I care about my meeting with a human and mortal queen when I just had 2 hours this morning with the King of Kings? You see that kind of difference, right? Now, in many charismatic churches today, they make a big deal of worship. They worship, right? They worship the experiences they find in worship, and often they mistake that as worshiping God. Now, you know, a theologian said, whenever the method of worship becomes more important than the person of worship, we have already prostituted our worship. There are entire congregations who worship praise and praise worship, but who have not yet learned to praise and worship God in Jesus Christ. All right? So, men can make a big deal, but the Bible tells us that we are to worship God. He is the one whom we worship. Now, specifically, who is He? Now, the word that is used is the Lord, and that's the covenant name of God. Now, we can call God by His general name. I mean, we say God, you know, but if we say God and the Muslims say God, is it the same God? No. The Jews call God God. Are they worshiping the same God? They're not worshiping the same God, right? You know, the Hindus, they say, oh, my God has done this for me. Who are they referring to? Obviously, it's not our God. So we can refer God by His general name, but that's not what is listed here in this psalm, okay? And, you know, God can be described by His attributes. The Bible calls Him the Almighty, calls Him the Most High, you know, calls Him, you know, all of these titles, but we learn here that God is not called by a general name. He's not called by His attributes, even though in other parts of the Bible we find that, but right here, He is called by His covenant name, which is in Hebrew, Jehovah, or Yahweh, right? Now, why? Now, of course, we have to understand that God has a name, right? As do all other false gods. What are some false gods? We've got Buddha, Allah of the Muslims, right? Zeus, you know, Ganesh, right? All of these have their personal names. Well, the Almighty God has a personal name. And this was one way to distinguish Him from all of the other false gods. So the reason why the psalmist here is telling the people to worship not just God, not just the Almighty, but Jehovah, is because he wants to distinguish which God to worship. Who is he addressing here? What does verse 1 say? Who is he talking to? You have no idea. It's in the verse. What's that? The people. But which people? All people and nations, right? So he's not addressing Israel, because if he told Israel, worship God, of course they obviously know which God to worship. But he's talking to all people, all nations, and he is telling them not just to worship their God, right, or just the attribute, but he's telling them to worship Jehovah, the true God. That's what he is saying, right? So whom do we praise? The true God, the living and true God, Jehovah the Lord. Okay, now, why do we praise? Verse 2 tells us that we praise him because of his merciful kindness, because his merciful kindness is great toward us, and his truth endures forever. Now here we learn three reasons why we must praise Jehovah. Firstly, it's because of his merciful kindness. And that's really the Hebrew word for, the Hebrew word chesed, which means mercy or love. This is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek word agape, right? So we praise God for his immense love, right? His immense mercy. And why is it called merciful kindness here? In other parts of the Bible, it's called loving kindness, right? Same difference, okay? Same difference. You might ask, why don't the King James translators just use the same word? I don't know, right? Because at different times, this word can be translated as mercy as well. So it's different aspects, right? So here it is, we praise him because he is mercifully kind. He is loving in his kindness, and because his kindness is great towards us. Basically, we don't praise God. Yes, the Bible says we praise and we fear God because he is a terrible God, a God who is filled with terror. But here we're told to praise him specifically because he shows mercy. And he shows mercy without limit. It is great towards us. You know, whenever we ask God for forgiveness, he will always forgive. Will God ever not forgive when we ask for forgiveness? No. He will always forgive. Peter asked Jesus, how many, if his brother comes to him, seven times to seek forgiveness, you know, does he forgive up to seven times? And Jesus is actually 70 times seven. All right, it's to show the limitless of our forgiveness, because God has forgiven in that way. All right? Jesus said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, you know, God calls sinners to repentance, and when they repent, he always forgives. And we learn here that God is always merciful to forgive those whose hearts are humble and penitent. Now, the word chesed can mean love as well. So the same word here, love, everlasting love, that's and loving kindness, that's all chesed. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So we worship, we praise God because of his merciful kindness. And verse 2 also tells us that we praise him because of his truth, right? We praise him because of his truth. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. So the word of God's truth. Now, why do we praise God for his truth? Why? I mean, sure, we can praise God for his mercy, but why praise him for his word? Very simply, because it is his word in the first place that tells us that God is merciful. Right? Without the truth of God, we would never know that God is merciful. So we praise him for that word, right? That reveals, that truth that reveals that God is merciful. I mean, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that it is the Word of God that gives us hope. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. Right? It's the same thing, right? You know, just had a job interview. The person says he'll call you at a certain time to tell you whether you got your job. Right? The Word that you hear from Him gives you hope. Right? So we wait in God, wait on His Word. And, you know, we learn from God's Word that God is love. And it is not just an affectionate love, but it is an active love. We learn that God loves us. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and Christ laid down his life for us. From His Word, we find that out. We learn in 1 John 4:19, you know, we are able to love because God loves us. You know, we also learn from the Word that when we repent, He will forgive. You know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, so when we trust in the Word, you know, we find things out about God. You know, that is why we can be sure of our salvation. We don't ever need to wonder, am I good enough? Have I done enough? You know, I am repentant. I've come to God. I'm not good enough. Well, the Lord says, if you're not good enough, that is good enough. If you're not good enough, and you know that, and you repent, that is His Word. That is good enough. And that is why we praise Him for His truth that endures. Alright? Now, the third thing that we praise Him for is that His salvation has extended to all peoples. Now, verse 1, it says, praise Him, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye lands. Now, a piece of theology is, can anyone worship God that God has not accepted? No, you can't, right? God rejects that worship. But the one that God has accepted, His worship is acceptable to God because of the atonement of Christ. So the fact that the psalmist is also calling on all lands to look at God's mercy means that God's mercy can also extend to them. This is not like the Jews who only thought salvation is for the Jews, right? Even the Old Testament says salvation is for all those who look to Him, right? So the command is for all nations. And interestingly, verse 1 is quoted in Romans 15:11, right? And again, praise the Lord, all ye nations, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, right? Praise Him to others, all ye people. So this 117 verse 1 is quoted in Romans 15:11, and the context of that, right, is seen in verses 8 and 9, that Jesus is not only a minister, right, for the Jews, right? He was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Yes, He came for the Jews, and He also came for the Gentiles, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Right? And this is very obvious to us. Anyone here a Jew? If I pull down your pants, you know, if I, whatever, right? I would not be able to tell if you're a Jew. You're not Jews, but we are spiritual Jews, aren't we? We are grafted into the nation, the true nation of Israel, the church, right? We have been made Jews, not by circumcision of hands, but a circumcision of the heart, right? So that's even more reason to praise. Why do we praise? Because salvation has extended to us. So not only is God merciful, but he has been merciful to us who are not Jews. And not only has God's word gone forth, but it has come to us. Now what are some points of application here? These two points are connected, okay? The fact that why or whom do we praise and why do we praise, they're linked. When we know that God is loving toward us, when we know that his word is true, right, then we will boast to others. We will celebrate God. We will commend God to others. But when we don't know, when we fail to remember, when we look at our problems more than the blessings that we have, and all of us do that, right? Oh, you know, my life is like this. You know, it's so horrible. But it's not, actually, right? God has shown us mercy. His word endures, right? So when we realize that, we will celebrate. We will praise. And of course, the one thing that we are reminded, especially because we are studying the book of Hebrews. Even though we are God's people, we don't always trust in the word. And that's another reminder to trust. If we don't trust, we won't celebrate. And if we won't trust, you know, the warning, Psalm 106, you know, about the Israelites, the Jews, yea, they despise the pleasant land because they believe not his word. Psalm 107, verses 10 to 11. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. You know, this can be, you know, in a very practical way, we will never really get out of our doldrums, our problems, our depression, if we don't trust the Word, if we don't trust in God, and we don't praise Him. And that's a reminder to us, this psalm especially is for us because we are Gentiles. Right? It's a reminder to us to praise God. But why do we praise Him? Because He's merciful. Who's He merciful to? Us. His word is true. Right? Yeah, you say, oh, I'm so weak. I can't do this. Jesus, you know, Paul said, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Right? Oh, I'm so sinful. Right? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Right? Oh, we may say, God hates me. I'm such a sinner. Right? Bible says God is love. Right? These things are the ones that assure us. And so when we go to prayer, when we come together, right, we rejoice in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we pray that you would cause our hearts to rejoice and to celebrate and to proclaim you to others. That is your will for us, your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.